The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Have faith in God. Have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you for so long a time, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Good morning, everyone. In this Gospel, we have the great line that almost everybody knows. It's like right up there with John 3:16. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, Peter and the other apostles are locked up by the leadership of the Jewish world, and the leadership has said, "Don't you ever say the name again. You cannot preach the name of Jesus." And Peter says, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And Peter says right here in his letter that we heard the second reading today, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, a stone that will make people stumble and a rock that will make them fall." And they were stumbling over that leadership. And Jesus looks at those apostles at the Last Supper and he says, "He who has seen me has seen the Father. I am in the Father and the Father is in me." Colossians 1:15, St. Paul says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For him, in him, and through him, all things were created." This is our Lord Jesus Christ, one in being with the Father, the image of the invisible God, the way, the truth, and the life. Do we believe that or not? Do we live for Christ or not? Is he the way, the truth, and the life or not? Because we make decisions every day of our lives. Families make decisions to not participate in the faith. It can be deliberate. We are not going to Mass anymore. Or they're just too busy. People are busy. Or they can just be lazier. They can just figure there's something else to do. Other things are more important. No matter the reason, it is always self-absorption. And this begins the process of dying. And there are three deaths. There's a spiritual death, there's a moral death, and then there's a physical death. And it always begins like that. Spiritual death. There is no God. Jesus is certainly not God. Let's just not talk about Jesus. And, you know, I'm okay with his Father. There's a God. I talk to God. I drink my coffee. I take a walk on the prairie. I'm okay. And it's usually couched in those words, you know, I just don't need God right now. Let's don't talk about it. I need to take care of me. Self-absorption. So with that self-absorption, and ignoring the reality that there is a God, then there's, after that, there's a moral death. All decisions are based on subjective thoughts and feelings. It all comes down to me and who I am. And every honest person here knows your feelings change about every day, morning to afternoon, for those of you who are really melancholy. I mean, it will just change. Life changes all the time. Cogito ergo sum, I think, therefore I am. A lot of people not thinking. Are they existing? We're not sure. The thing is that, you know, we're all very fragile, but we all put it all on ourselves through that self-absorption. They're based on, all life is based on me, my subjective feelings and thoughts, because there's no greater God than me. But then what do you do when people disagree? Your truth versus that truth, his truth, her truth. Everybody's got their truth. Things get really truthy. Who's going to be in charge? So people do not make laws to conform with reality, with the truth of human existence. Then laws are simply the simple majority to rewrite reality. Life is guided by selfishness, and there's moral death, and there's a lot of immorality, and then there's what? Then there's actual physical death. Then it happens. People don't want to get married. Families slowly erode. Families are destroyed. Children become even more lost. Where are my parents? Society withers for lack of people. Society implodes for lack of purpose and direction, which does not exist because families are adrift and they fall apart. And even there could even be the birth dearth which comes about. And then there's actual physical death, and a vacuum is created, a void, and it's got to be filled. Just as the human person must be filled up inside, so a society must be filled up. There must be something there to give purpose and reason and direction. It's the truth of every single human person, and people make up a society. So the spiritual vacuum of the person ushers in a spiritual death, which becomes the death of a society. And the human person must have a purpose. And without Christ Jesus, the person must fill up with something. Politics, consumerism, and then people just get tired of shopping for meaning. And the vacuum in the void has to be filled, and it will be filled. And it's happening throughout various parts of the world as various other religions, which do not profess Jesus Christ as Lord and God, and they step in, they fill this void, this vacuum, this emptiness, even a real physical absence, right? Now, you probably know there's the big five religions: Buddhism, Hinduism, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. Those are the big five. Of those five, three are monotheistic: Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. And of those three monotheistic, only one of them professes faith in Jesus Christ, the crucified one, who died, who rose, who gives us life. Jews deny the words of the prophets being found in a crucified and a resurrected Messiah. They have the prophets, they have the promise, they have the covenant. They just deny that it ends up with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has given himself on the cross, rose in that sacrificial action of love. Islam acknowledges the existence of Jesus as a prophet born of the Virgin Mary. And there's only two women mentioned in the Quran: the Blessed Virgin Mary and Fatima, his daughter. So Islam acknowledges the existence of Jesus as a prophet, but Jesus died. And he is not God. He is just a prophet. That's all he is. Said some decent things. Allah is about submission and not about the sacrificial love of Jesus on the cross. And then Islam conquered by force and subjugated their Christian enemies for about 1,100 years, and then slowly weakened as a political entity. But the religion doesn't change. Now it is filling the void. It is filling the emptiness in the West, which is caused by a spiritual, moral, and physical death. Death in Europe, other countries, and parts of the United States. We as Catholics, cannot survive on mere cultural Catholicism. We can't just grab hold of Grandma's apron strings and have her drag us around the bases and slide into home barely, you know? You just can't do that with Grandma. She doesn't have the strength. You're going to have to start running. I had to be clear on this last night. This is not sarcasm. This is not a joke. I talked to this child, maybe junior high. And I said, "Are you baptized?" He says, I don't think so. Are you Catholic? I said, I'm not sure. Have you ever seen this? In the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. You ever seen that, heard those words? Yes. I saw my grandma do that. So I just asked him questions. I need to know what page we're starting on and how to talk and how to relate and what's important and everything like that. So we cannot survive on mere cultural Catholicism. We die a slow death by apathy and mediocrity, and that death has arrived. And parents who baptize their children and even make sure they make their first communion but do not get married and do not go to Mass live a cultural Catholicism that essentially kind of relies on somebody else. And a Catholic cannot just sit in the pews and do nothing. I'm not even talking about raffle tickets. Okay? Just, that's not where I'm going. I know you're afraid. You're scared. It's that time of year. It's not it. You just can't sit in the pews and do nothing. And open, meaning you can't just sit there and not open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves you, died for you, rose for you, gives you purpose, meaning in life. It's who we are, and that's what guides the human person in those families, that guides our lives. We just can't sit there. Life in Christ is about being open to life in Christ. That's what it means. Open to the grace of God. And mediocrity or apathy only lead to troubled and divided hearts. And only the grace of God fills the spiritual void and gives us a reason for living. We do not define the truth. That would be purely subjective. The truth is a person. Jesus Christ, and He is the way and the life. And without Him in our lives, then we die spiritually and then morally and then physically. And there would be no Christian society based on the supreme action of sacrificial love on the cross. And then big old beautiful churches just become places that have perfect acoustics to have a concert for people who don't believe in God. And I'm not exaggerating. And that's the way it is. We are called, as St. Peter says in that second reading, to be living stones built into the structure of the church. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we are living stones with Christ as the capstone, the head of it all. And we are there as members, those living stones that bring life to others because we have the life of Jesus Christ. That is what we bring. That's the purpose. That's the identity. And in that, then there's culture. And then there's a way of life that we have with each other. And this is what God's plan was, to give us His Son and to have that life. Do we want that life, to live in His way, to know that He is the truth?